Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Named for alto saxophonist and jazz pioneer Charlie Bird Parker, who dubbed it the Jazz Corner of the World, Birdland opened on December 15, 1949. And for 60 years, it has been home to jazz legends, from Parker, John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, and Count Basie, to Oscar Peterson, Hank Jones, Diana Krall, and everyone in between. The original 52nd Street location was a cultural barometer and meeting place, inspiring the songs Birdland and Lullaby of Birdland, and serving as a regular haunt for celebrities and cultural figures. The modern incarnation is a state-of-the-art nightclub featuring award-winning Southern and Cajun cuisine, first-rate sound and lighting, and a who's who of contemporary musical artists 7 nights a week. Gianni Valenti is the owner-operator of Birdland Jazz in its current incarnation, located on West 44th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues in New York City. And he joins us now to tell us more about the club. Gianni Valenti, welcome to the Roundtable.
Sarah, so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell us how you first, nearly 30 years ago, became the owner of the iconic Birdland Jazz Club.
Well, it happened on a Saturday afternoon. I had a restaurant on the Upper West Side, and a young lady walked in for brunch. I greeted her at the door, sat down, we started chatting, and her name was Doris Parker. And she started coming in frequently to visit with me and chatting up music, and I started construction on a club, restaurant slash club on the Upper West Side. She walked in one day and she said, "This reminds me of the old Birdland," because I had a raised platform. She said, "That looked like the Peanut Gallery. There's where the stage." She said, "You should open up Charlie's Bandstand." And I looked at her and I said, "But really, I don't really know a lot about it." She says, "Not to worry, I'll be there to help you." And it's history from there. 29 years later, here I am.
What did her help mean to you, and what did she have to help you with?
Well, it was very important because at the time I was younger. I really wasn't into jazz, although my father was a saxophone clarinet player, played jazz, and I didn't like it. And we actually had to play, I had a twin brother, and we'd alternate every night. One played sax, one played clarinet. So my biggest fear was the knowledge, because backtracking, Doris came in one afternoon and brought a friend of hers with her. And we all sat down and we began chatting. And the gentleman's name was Max Roach, who I really did not know. Here I am, fresh in New York, I'm out of graduate school, I'm into more R&B, rock, and pop music, and the great Max Roach is sitting down having lunch with me. Later on, I researched to find out Max Roach. He turns to me and he says, "If you're gonna do this, Doris and I will help you, but you gotta do it right." And I think that that has been a force inside my head from that day to do it right. And Doris came to me with all the help of bringing musicians to me that had played at the original Birdland, helpful in managers that I should meet with their artist, and also she helped bring artists to me as a booker. So her personal interest and her guidance were very, very important for me at the beginning. I needed it.
What do you think she saw in you that made her want to help you execute this sort of dream?
Well, first of all, I was in awe once I found out more about Doris Parker and Charlie Parker. For me, I'd always been in music. Like I said, my father was a musician. I actually went on to study bass, and my sisters played piano. I always had music in my veins. It was something that I loved. I think that she saw the desire, because I saw the potential of bringing jazz back. It was at a lull at that time. You have to remember, when I opened in 1985, Birdland had closed in 1965, and we had started talks around 1983-84, and there was a slight resurgence that I felt the more I researched. And I know that she saw that desire for me to create something and to be part of a new building process.
What have been some of the most memorable moments over your 30-year tenure at Birdland?
Well, there were many, and as I tell people when I do meet them, they come into the club, that I've been blessed to be in this industry. The most satisfying thing for me is not only the music that these artists bring to us, it was the relationships I developed on a personal level. My friendship with Oscar Peterson was like a father to me, very dear to me. The Hank Jones, Tony Williams, people that have passed, and the people that are with me on a weekly basis that come in and see and play for me. These are things that I cherish, the moments that I have that I say are the most amazing are, of course, having Oscar Peterson perform for me, having the likes of Kurt Elling, who we establish in New York. We discover him in Chicago 15 years ago, and we bring him in. He's become one of the top artists and one of my dearest friends. Joe Lovano, Bucky Pizzarelli, and John Pizzarelli. I can go on and on. Ravi Coltrane, and all of these are special moments for me. If I had to pick the one moment, I would have to think that the one moment for me was when we celebrated our 60th anniversary, and I assembled some of the greats that played at Birdland, such as Hank Jones, such as Lou Donaldson, and Jimmy Heath, and Tootie Heath, and we had all the greats come in and sit with us and play with us on the night of our 60th anniversary. That I remember is probably one of my fondest memories.
Birdland has sometimes three shows a day. Is that the most per day, three?
Yes, it is, and that's a lot of shows.
It is.
How, what goes into organizing all of that for every night of the week?
Well, I'm blessed. I have a gentleman that runs the office that does our booking for me. He's been with me for 18 years. Just to mention that most of my staff has been with me for years, which makes it a real family for us. Being that I am sole proprietor, it's like a home to me. I walk in where I'm there every day. Now, when we book three shows, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of teamwork, not only with booking, with the front of the house, turning the room, with the sound engineer, striking the stage, rebuilding the stage. But we found that the three shows that we do during the week, the first show is not the headlining show. We do a 5 o'clock show on Fridays with the Birdland Big Band, and then it's followed by the headliner on 8:30 and 11. On Saturdays, we have the great Barbara Carroll comes in and does her 6 o'clock show, and then of course the headliner, 8:30 and 11. And on Sundays, we do a jazz party, which is a showcase for featured vocalists. Every Monday, we do Cast Party with Jim Caruso. We've been doing that for 10 years. And by the way, the Birdland Big Band's been there for 14 years. And every Wednesday we do the Louis Armstrong Band, which has been there for 16 years. Not to mention Sunday nights with the Chico O'Farrell Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. They've been with us for 18 years every Sunday. So these three show nights are great because it mixes the music. It gives people a different choice if they want to come in early at 5 and see our resident bands. And they perform on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And then we have our headliners, which are Tuesday through Saturday night. And as I mentioned, Sundays is the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. So it's really fun. It breaks it up. It breaks my night up. And I think that it's a credit because resident bands that last as long as ours have mean that they're successful and people are coming in to see them and hear them. So it's a good sign.
How do you compete with everything else going on in New York City? I mean, there's no limit of things to do.
Well, you know, it's It's very difficult. New York is a melting pot of things to do, and we are blessed that people have chosen us to spend their time with and to visit with us. We have become part of the landscape of New York, and we're part of the environment, and people from all over the world. I would say that 70% of our guests come in from other countries. So to answer your question, how do we compete? We compete by, I always felt this, by being reasonable with our pricing. We have excellent service. We have a staff that's been with me for years, and I'm a very meticulous person. I'm demanding, but in a good way, because I'm demanding because I want people that come to visit us, enjoy, and come back. The biggest mistake we make in this industry is to get someone to come into your establishment and then have them leave unhappy. To me, that's a sin. What we need to do is to understand that they've come in and support the music. I feel that booking is very important. People want to hear certain type of music, and this is what we supply. So not only that, I think that the club is successful because where we are in Times Square, we have the visibility, we have the accessibility, we're parking, we have the subway systems, and we have, of course, the tourists. But I think that most importantly, it is giving people a good show in a good environment. And when you come to Birdland, what I pride myself on is when I built the club, the only thing that I have changed from the day we opened is an occasional picture on the wall. But I think that we have the most comfortable room that you will find. So people come in and they have great dinner. As I mentioned earlier, I was in the restaurant business. I had restaurants prior. And I did the unthinkable. I opened up a jazz club and I dropped a restaurant right in the middle of it. So I tried to recreate what people thought of jazz clubs and jazz rooms. So what we find that helps us is you can make a full night of it. You can come in, whether you're on a date with your friends, you're getting married, or it's an anniversary, you can come in and have a great dinner and hear great music. And I think that we've done a good job so far.
I should say so. Fantastic. Music, location, food, venue, service. What does the future hold?
Well, that's something that I work on every day. I think that a lot of our programming, and if, as we mentioned earlier, the earlier shows are programmed to get the younger people involved in music. I think that I was put on this earth to do exactly what I do, is to keep the music alive. For me, it's very important. And what we do is we try to get the younger people involved in jazz. And to me, by the Birdland Big Band, Tommy Igo there helps direct that band. We contact many of the high schools and the colleges and the music schools. We get a lot of the students to come in to enjoy the music, and then we get them to participate. So for me, I think that establishing new artists, of course, to get the young artists, the upstart artists, to a level where they're traveling all around the world and they're performing, they're earning a living, is important for me. I love that. I love to get the upstart artists, give them an opportunity on stage to perform in a professional atmosphere in front of people that they don't know. This is always a good point. And I think for me is getting the young kids interested in jazz and getting programs set up where they come in, not only hear the music, see the artists, but get to perform. And that's basically what my future holds for me.
And I understand you recently signed a new lease.
We did, thank God. I don't have to worry about moving a lot of equipment. You know, it's a funny story because when I was with Doris and Max, I looked at them and I said, but I can only do this for 50 years because they were saying we needed to establish Birdland, but make it strong and never let it close again. And I'm very determined that way. I would never want to start a project and not finish it. So I've done 29 years. I have one more year left on the existing lease, and on our new lease is for 20 years, and it's for 50. I know when I went to the landlord, it was, can I get the 15 years, which was offered, but can you tack on that 5 years for me? And he asked, why? I said, because that'll make it 50, and I think that I've done my fair share.
Gianni, thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Gianni Valenti is the owner-operator of Birdland in New York City. More information about the club and upcoming shows, including a two-week holiday engagement with Michael Feinstein, is available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.